Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, what's up? It's Dr. Ward. Welcome to this episode of Into the Fix. This month, we're going to be talking about self-acceptance. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the things that get in the way of people accepting who they are. So today we're going to be talking about the thoughts people have and how the thoughts people have can get in the way of accepting who they are. Over the years, I've probably worked with more people than I can count. Between my private practice and my time in the prison, I bet I have sat across the table from hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And one thing that's become abundantly clear to me over time is that most people don't truly feel good about who they are. They might say they do. They might actually even be able to provide an example of things they say they feel good about. But if you listen closely, you'll hear a lot of things that people tell themselves that aren't productive. You hear a lot of things that people tell themselves that don't build themselves up, that pull themselves down, that make people question their worth, that make people feel as though they aren't as good as they would like to be. See, to me, the messages we tell ourselves are very important. They can empower us to go further than we ever thought was possible, or they can freeze us in our place, and they can stop our progress. So today we're going to talk about why the messages we tell ourselves are important, and then we're going to talk about some things we can do to start changing those messages. So why are the messages I tell myself important? And for me, there are a couple different reasons. One, a man can't serve two masters. I think it's really hard for us to feel two ways about the same thing. It just doesn't really happen. I mean, let's just think about it sort of in real life. People might start by saying, I don't really like exercising, but I like the way it makes me feel. But eventually, over time, what does that change to? It just changes into, I hate exercising. We do the same things to ourselves. If I love this about me and I hate this about me, it's just a matter of time until I just start being unhappy with all of me. And we don't want to do that. Another reason why the messages I tell myself are important, because what I tell myself sets the expectations I have for myself. If I tell myself and I actually believe that no one is perfect, then I give myself room to make mistakes. I set the expectation that I don't have to be perfect. If I say that I shouldn't make mistakes or that I have to be perfect, then I set myself up to be perpetually disappointed. The ironic thing is, if I ask you about somebody else, you'd quickly admit that nobody's perfect and everybody makes mistakes. But the minute we start applying it to ourselves, we change the measure. See, no one expects anybody else to be perfect, but I'd argue a lot of people expect themselves to be perfect. Another reason why the messages I tell myself are important is because what I tell myself shapes how I feel. For me, most everything we do is shaped by the way we think. What I tell myself about a situation affects how I think about a situation and ultimately how I feel about that situation. For instance, imagine you're going on vacation and you're getting yourself situated on the plane. And as you're sort of getting situated and you're getting yourself settled, you see two kids coming down the aisle. And they're like 5 and 6, and they're tripping each other, and they're pushing each other, and they're yelling, and they're doing all sorts of stuff. And you just know where they're going to sit. And sure enough, right behind you, they plop down. And within seconds, they're sticking their head between the seats, they're kicking the back of your seat, they're opening the tray table, they're closing the tray table. And while all this happens, you see their dad walking behind them doing absolutely nothing. What kind of thoughts would you have? These kids are brats? That their dad should be doing something? What kind of feelings would you have? Anger? Frustration? Rage? Disappointment? Now, imagine we have that exact same situation. You're still going on vacation. You're still on the plane. The kids still come in raising hell. But this time, when you look back at the dad, he looks at you and says, sorry. Sorry about my kids. We just came from their mother's funeral today. Now, what kind of thoughts would you have? These poor kids? That's awful. No wonder they're out of control. What kind of feelings would you have? Patience? Understanding? Would you still be frustrated? Yeah, of course, probably. But would it lead to the kind of negative thoughts and feelings you were having before? I don't think it would. But why? The situation's the same. The frustration's the same. The only thing that's different is how I'm thinking about the situation and what I'm telling myself about the situation. And this isn't just what I tell myself about life. It's what I tell myself about me. The things I say about me shape how I feel about me. And the final reason why understanding why these messages are so important is because a lot of things I tell myself are things I've been told. None of us live in a vacuum. We all interact with the world. Unfortunately, this comes with negative feedback. Someone says that our shoes are ugly. Someone says our hair looks stupid. Someone says that somebody else is better than us. These aren't daily messages. These aren't things we hear all the time. But it only takes one comment. It only takes one comment made at the wrong time to shape the way I view myself. And so where do I get these messages? And for me, I think messages come from a couple different places, right? I think, obviously, we get messages from our family growing up. And I don't think our family makes us who we are. But I think our family sets a template for what we expect from the world. For instance, if I'm someone who grows up in a critical household where every mistake is treated as a big deal, as a capital offense, I think I'm going to tell myself very different messages than if I grew up in a household where I was taught everybody makes mistakes, just try your hardest, and you have nothing to feel bad about. I think family sets the template for what we expect. I also think our peers in the world send messages that we carry with us. For better or for worse, we are social beings. And so I think by default, we look to each other for approval and for guidance and for direction. Problem is, other people have their own beliefs. Other people have their own messages that they tell themselves. Other people have messages that they've learned from the world. And those messages may or may not be right. The kid who told me that my shoes were ugly in third grade may or may not have been right. The person who told me I was stupid in seventh grade may or may not have been right. The problem is, I'm not sure how well we discern feedback, especially when we're young. And so when people send messages, I think a lot of us tend to own those messages and we tend to take those in and we tend to carry those with us. Honestly, I bet at least half of the issues I deal with in private practice result from messages people received growing up. Either a peer made fun of them, someone called them stupid, and it's sad. I've seen people struggle for 30 years with an insecurity that was created when they were 10 years old. Bottom line, you can't get away from yourself. You're stuck. Think of it as a lifelong marriage to yourself. No divorce allowed. So here's the question. How do you want this relationship to be? Do you want to spend a lifetime fighting with yourself? Do you want to spend a lifetime creating mental barriers you have to work around later? Or do you want a relationship where you see and acknowledge your strengths and your weaknesses as part of the same relationship? Look, anyone who has been in a relationship for more than a few minutes will tell you that the person they're with isn't perfect, but they're still there. Why? Because they accept that there are pros and cons to any relationship, but that the good in this relationship outweighs the bad. So if we can do that in a relationship with somebody else, why can't we do that with ourselves? Why can't we look at ourselves and say, yeah, you know what? Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. But the good far outweighs the bad. Begin looking at the things you tell yourself and question whether they're building you up or tearing you down. See, the things we tell ourselves are really important. They can set up a template for success or they can set a template for failure. They can set a template for us feeling great about ourselves or they can set a template where we're always disappointed in ourselves. So what's the takeaway? What are some things you can do to begin monitoring and changing the things you tell yourself? And I think there are a few things. The first is, what is one negative thing you tell yourself? That you're stupid, that you're an idiot, that you're ugly, that you're a loser. Fill in the blank. Next, where did this idea come from? I doubt there are many people who just woke up one day and started having negative thoughts about themselves. Usually these conclusions are going to come from somewhere else. Either an experience we had in school, a comment somebody else made. So where did these thoughts come from? And then I need to ask myself, are there other ways to see this situation? One caveat I would say is to lay off the labels. Describe the behavior. Don't say I'm lazy. Say it's hard for me to get motivated. Why? Because labels cover everything. If I say I'm lazy, that implies I'm always lazy and that I will always be lazy. If I say I have a hard time getting motivated, then there are things I can do to begin increasing my motivation. There are things I can do to be more motivated when I need to be. Lastly, how can I rewrite the narrative I use to build myself up and not tear myself down? Again, for me, the trick is to describe what is happening. Not put a label on it, not make a judgment, just very plainly describe what's happening. At the end of the day, it's about being able to acknowledge that I'm not perfect in a way that doesn't tear me down. It's about being able to say, yeah, I'm not as good as I would like to be, but I'm as good as anybody else. What I tell myself shapes how I view myself. If we want to move towards accepting ourselves, we have to tell ourselves messages that allow us to be accepting. So that's it for me. That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check out my Facebook. Be sure to check out my Instagram. Be sure to follow me. This is Dr. Ward. I'll talk to you again next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.